Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're continuing our series, Creation in the Book of Isaiah. And we've seen there are many references to the Creator in chapters 44 and 45. Mm-hmm. But after Isaiah 45:18, which we considered in some detail.
Yeah, for a couple of programs.
Exactly. The next reference to the Creator's work was in chapter 48, which we also talked about in our last program.
That's right, Scott. And so in today's show, I want to look at two more references to creation, one in chapter 49 and another in chapter 50. But the reference to creation in Isaiah 49, verse 5, is not real obvious. It is actually a prophetic passage and does not refer to the creation of the heavens or the earth, but the creation of a body.
So it talks about God creating Adam?
Well, not exactly. But then, in a manner of speaking, yes.
Okay. So what's that supposed to mean?
Well, the creation of the Adam you're referring to back in Genesis 1 and 2 was the creation of the first Adam, that is, the first man. The creation of a body, which is prophesied in Isaiah 49, verse 5, is about the second Adam. The distinction between the first and second Adam being made in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 and 47. Should we read those verses?
I think so.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, "So also it is written, quote, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, end quote. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Then verse 47 says, "The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven."
So, right there we see Paul is confirming the origins of the two Adams, so to speak. The first, created out of the dust of the earth, and the second, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven. But Jesus, since he existed before he was born on earth, was given a body, or a body was made for him, so he could live as a human among us. And it is the forming of that body, the creation of the body for Jesus, that is referred to in Isaiah 49:5. Now, to be certain we understand who is being identified in Isaiah 49, we need to start reading at the beginning of the chapter, realizing that some interpreters consider the subject of this passage to be the nation of Israel, personified as an individual, not the individual who we come to find out in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus. But I think as we read the whole passage, it becomes clear these verses can only be referring to the servant, the individual, Jesus, not the entire nation. Here's Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 4. "Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named me. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me. And he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory.' But I said, 'I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God.'" Okay, so now if the description just ended there, maybe it could be argued that it's talking about the nation. But then we read in verse 5, "And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, in order that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.'" So, here in verses 5 and 6 that we just read, the servant is restoring the tribes of Jacob, making a distinction between this individual called my servant and the nation of Israel. And then, in another even clearer reference to an individual, it says in verse 7, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes shall also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." And so then what is revealed clearly in the New Testament is Jesus was that chosen one, and yet he was the despised one.
Well, Dr. Scripture, before we move on, I love what the Lord says about the work of his servant being too great to just save Israel. So he's going to save all the nations of the earth.
Yes, what a fantastic thought expressed there. Quote, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Unquote. That's how great the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was at Calvary. But in order for him to be able to die on the cross, he had to have a body. And it was the forming of that body that the servant is prophetically quoted as saying in Isaiah 49:5, "The Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant." And by the way, the word translated forming there is the same one used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where it says God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. So revealed there in Isaiah 49 is the miracle to come, that a body would be made for the Savior, similar but not identical to the miracle in the Garden of Eden.
So the similarity is it took a miracle to combine a natural body and a supernatural spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between the first and second Adam is the first Adam was newly created, but the second Adam, the person Jesus, already existed.
Right.
So God did a miracle and combined the spirit of the Son of God with a natural body in the womb of Mary.
Amazing.
Now, do we know precisely when that happened?
I think so, Scott. It was at the moment the Holy Spirit conceived the Son in Mary, and God the Son became incarnate. We can't know with absolute certainty because the text doesn't get that specific, but we do know that Jesus' body was the natural physical product of Mary, making him fully human. So I think God used the seed of Mary, the woman, that is one of her oocytes, and miraculously combined it with the spirit of Jesus, and away the cell went. It grew into an embryo and a fetus and then a baby, and Mary delivered Jesus in Bethlehem.
Okay, so that's the reference to God forming a body. In other words, the creation of a body for his servant, who we know as Jesus in Isaiah chapter 49. You said you also wanted to discuss a reference in chapter 50.
Yes, Scott, and it's directly related to what we've been considering in chapter 49. In Isaiah 50, there is another reference to God forming or making a body for the servant, but this time it's stated in the form of an idiom. In Isaiah 50, verses 5 and 6, it says, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting."
Now, that is obviously a prophecy of what is going to happen to the Lord Jesus, all those things being fulfilled just before he was crucified.
That's right. And just as the prophet stated in chapter 49 that the body of Jesus was formed by God in his mother's womb, the phrase in Isaiah 50, verse 5, quote, "The Lord has opened my ear," unquote, is a Hebrew idiom which means God made his body.
Really?
Yeah. Let me explain. My understanding of the origin of the idiom is that it referred to the idea of a sculptor molding or forming a clay figure. And as he formed the head, he would push his fingers into the side of the head to form the holes for the ears.
You don't say.
And the description of that action came to represent making the entire body. So knowing that idiom and its meaning helps us understand that this passage in Isaiah 50 relates to what we read in Isaiah 49. And something else, Scott, it clarifies what can be a confusing translation of an Old Testament verse by a New Testament writer.
Well, yes, Dr. Scripture, as you were reading that phrase in Isaiah 50, it reminded me of a passage in one of the New Testament epistles, I think, that was quoting an Old Testament verse which said something about God opening my ear, But in the New Testament passage, it said, a body thou hast prepared for me. It always seemed to me to be a strange quotation.
That's the confusing example I'm talking about, Scott. The New Testament passage is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. The author of Hebrews appears to be quoting Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, which say, sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired, my ears thou hast opened, burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. But then listen to how it's quoted in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Wow. So there's that Hebrew idiom in the psalm, my ear thou hast opened, but it means just what Hebrews translated it to mean, a body thou hast prepared for me.
Exactly. In fact, it was the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, that interpreted the meaning of the Hebrew idiom, translating it into the Greek, a body thou hast prepared. And the author of Hebrews was actually quoting the Septuagint version of the Old Testament. So there in Psalm 40, and in our passage in Isaiah 50, we see the prophecy that the Lord God was going to prepare a body, obviously in a special way, for the servant, the Holy One of Israel. And that miracle took place in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who gave birth to the incarnate creator of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now that was a miracle.
Indeed. You know, but when we look at the creation and realize what power he has, he who made the heavens and stretched them out and established the earth and filled it with life, is it so hard to accept that he could prepare a body for himself and take on flesh? After all, he made the first human body out of dirt.
Well, Dr. Scripture, for me, the thing that's most difficult to grasp is that the Creator could or even would confine himself in a body. You know, how humiliating.
Right. It's an amazing, incomprehensible condescension. And yet, for that very reason, that Jesus would humble himself not only by taking on a body, but dying, that the Father exalted him. What does it say about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6? Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.